As was mentioned earlier in our announcements, we certainly have visitors and we're glad to have you with us today. We have services each Sunday and Sunday evening and Wednesday here at Beulah, and you're always welcome to be with us and study the Bible and worship God. Here in Hebrews chapter 12 in the Bible reading, the writer talks about a better kingdom, a better place, a better time. The children of Israel served under the law of Moses. God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and promised to make of him a great nation. And in that, God kept his promise. He made of him a great nation. They became numerous people throughout the ages, and they received the land that God promised them. But God also promised that through the seed of Abraham that there would come a Savior, that through whom all nations would be blessed. And that seed, of course, was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came from heaven to earth to be born of a virgin, the Virgin Mary. And then he lived a perfect life, setting a perfect example for us to follow, leaving his will and his way in the New Testament. And therefore, his kingdom was established in that he promised it would be established. His kingdom and the church are one and the same. He promised to build the church. He promised to establish the kingdom. When he promised to Peter that I will build my church, he promised to give Peter the keys to the kingdom. And so the kingdom and the church are one and the same in that when Peter preached the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost in A.D. 33 in the city of Jerusalem, the church was established. That kingdom was established that God promised that would come to pass. And it's been in existence ever since. And so we are thankful to be a part of that kingdom today, to be a part of the church. And we see in verse 28 of Hebrews chapter 12, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The Bible is the Word of God. And from the Bible we find what God has told us about His will for man. What we're doing here, our responsibilities while we're on earth, where we came from, and where we're going. And in that, God gives us His will and His way. The Bible explains from the Old Testament prophecies that the church would be established, that the kingdom would be set up. And in the New Testament, we read that it is established. It was established in A.D. 33. And then later in the New Testament, we read the epistles that were written to the different churches that points back to the fact that the church was established on the day of Pentecost in A.D. 33 there in Jerusalem. So this past January and February, we had 8 lessons concerning the church, what the Bible says about the church, and the prophecies that are given in the Old Testament pointing to the church. And so we had those 8 lessons, and then the COVID-19 situation came into being, and we were unable to attend for a while. And so I'd like to go back this morning and go back and review some of those things today and probably next Lord's Day also that we studied that the Bible tells us about the church. Now, when we learn from the Bible what God says about the kingdom or the church and we take God's Word, we know we're accepting the truth because God's Word is truth. The Bible that I hold in my hand is the Word of God. The amazing thing about this book is the fact that it was written over a period of 1,600 years by 40 different writers, for the most part, who lived in different centuries and different times and different places and did not know one another. And the reason the Bible is complete and perfect and thorough is that it is God-breathed. It is from God. He revealed to the men who wrote the pages of this book and everything in it, that 1,600 years of writing is in complete harmony with one another from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22. There's no conflicting interest in the Bible. There's no argument between those who wrote the Bible. It's all in harmony because it's God's will. So if you want to know and I want to know God's plan of salvation, we look into the book. If I want to know and you want to know about the church that God talks about in His Word, then we go there and we study it and God lays it out for us. So this morning, let's take a few minutes and go back and review some of the things we've learned in recent months, and most everyone already knew before we preached that series. But let's look at some of the things the Bible says about the church concerning the prophecies of the church. First of all, we know that the church was God's eternal purpose. It was a great part of God's eternal purpose because God is eternal. He's always been, He is today, and He always will be. So He is ever present. He's all wise and He's all knowing. So God had a purpose. He had a plan, and in His eternal purpose, He purposed that man would be able to have forgiveness of sins, that man could have salvation. He purposed that in the church, which Jesus bought and purchased with His blood. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. So, the church was purchased by the blood of Christ. He came and died on the cross for the sins of man. And when Paul talked to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he talked about the church that Christ purchased with His blood. So the Bible has much to say about the church and those who make up the church and when it was established and that it is in existence today. Let's look at some of the things the Old Testament talks about as far as the prophecies of inspired men at different times and different places who prophesied about the church, and it all came to fruition in A.D. 33 in the city of Jerusalem. In Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, about 725 B.C., during the Assyrian period, we see that Isaiah prophesied that there would be a kingdom that would be set up. He prophesied about the church that would be coming. So hundreds of years before the church was ever established, the Bible talks about the church that was going to be set up, that was going to be bought and purchased by the blood of Christ, because that was God's plan. That was God's manifold wisdom that the church would be built. And Isaiah talks about it. Well, he talks about the time of the establishment of the church. When will the church be established, according to Isaiah chapter 2? Well, in the last days, Isaiah says. What is to be established there in Isaiah chapter 2? The mountain of the house of the Lord. So the church is going to be established in the last days in the mountain of the house of the Lord. The place of establishment would be Zion or Jerusalem. So, many years before the church was ever established, the Bible talked about and prophesied the setting up of the church. When we see that, we see the extent of the blessings then that God is going to give mankind through the church. Here in Isaiah chapter 2, all blessings will be to all nations, to many peoples. So the Bible is explicit in showing that the kingdom of the church would be set up. Isaiah talked about it hundreds of years before the church was ever established. And then it did come to fruition in A.D. 33. Well, over in the Old Testament, Micah, another Old Testament prophet, he in a parallel passage, he also talked about the fact that this kingdom would be established and when it would be established. And so the Old Testament prophesies and points to the establishment of the church. Well, again, another man, Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel prophesied that the church would be, or the kingdom would be established. And this kingdom that would be established would be unlike any other kingdom that had ever been before it. Because the kingdom that was going to be established from God would be a kingdom that no man could destroy, that no one could be able to overpower it. That it would be an eternal kingdom. So about 600 B.C., during the Babylonian period, Daniel prophesied then that the church or the kingdom would be established. Nebuchadnezzar, who was king of Babylon at that time, had a dream, and Daniel gave the interpretation of that dream. And Daniel told him what that dream said. He says, this is what it is, Nebuchadnezzar. God changes the times and the seasons. God is in charge of everything. God removes kings and He sets up kings. Daniel chapter 2 verse 21. So, David lived in the time of this kingdom, but there's going to be another kingdom set up that's going to be one that will not be destroyed. It will be stronger than any of the kingdoms before it. God is showing Nebuchadnezzar through the revelation of Daniel, interpreting this dream, what will be in the latter days. Now, what did Isaiah say and what did Micah say? In the last days, there will be set up in Zion in Jerusalem the kingdom that God is promising. And so here's another Old Testament prophecy by Daniel showing that in the latter days, from that time of about 600 B.C. in Daniel 2:28, in the latter days there's going to be a kingdom set up that shall never be destroyed. So Daniel gave the interpretation of the dream. He talked about the image, the head of gold, the breast and the arms of silver, the belly and the thighs of brass, the legs and the iron, were iron. The feet equals part of iron and part of clay. The parts of the image represent various kingdoms, Daniel says. And when we look at those kingdoms, we see the parts of the image represents those kingdoms from looking at the Bible and the prophecy that was made concerning the kingdom will be set up in the last days. We see that Daniel is explaining that all these earthly kingdoms will never stand. They'll never stay forever. They'll be there for their time, and their king will be taken away, their power will be taken away, and there will be a kingdom set up that'll be an eternal kingdom. It'll be different from the kingdoms of the earth because its headquarters will be in heaven. That we're going to study about Wednesday night in our Bible class. So Daniel talks about this. And not only does Daniel talk about this in Daniel chapter 2, but secular history dictates that all that's taught in the Bible was true. And when he talks about the kingdoms of the earth, it runs in a parallel with the Bible to show that it's pointing to then the kingdom of God that would be set up. Well, Daniel says the head of gold, that would represent the Babylonian kingdom, which was from 625 to 539 B.C. The breast of silver was the Medo-Persian kingdom from 539 to 331 B.C. And then the belly and the thighs of bronze was the Grecian, about 331 B.C. And the legs of iron would have been the Roman Empire, about 63 B.C. to about 5 A.D. that we've been studying about in the book of Revelation. So when you look at the Old Testament, and you look at Daniel and Micah and Isaiah and Joel and all the prophecies that were made concerning the kingdom of God or the church that would be established in the latter days, in the days of those kings in Jerusalem, we see those prophecies were made, and we're going to see that those prophecies were certainly fulfilled. Daniel 2:44 specifies the time of the setting up of the kingdom, which shall be unlike any other earthly kingdoms before it. The kingdom or the church that God's going to set up for the salvation of men that Christ is going to purchase with His blood will not be like the Medo-Persian kingdom or the Babylonian kingdom or the Roman kingdom. It won't be like any of those because they were earthly kingdoms. They had an earthly king. But the king of the church, the king over the kingdom that's going to be set up, will be sitting in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God. And so headquarters will be in heaven, not on earth. Those who are baptized into Christ will be a part of the church on earth, but we are blood bought with the blood of Christ. The time then again, reemphasizing what the Bible says about the kingdom that would be set up in the days of those kings. This in the New Testament points to the days of who? The Roman Empire. Jesus was born, going to the New Testament, Jesus was born in those days, in the days of the Roman Empire, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. So we have the Old Testament prophecies prophesying the setting up of a kingdom that would never be destroyed, a kingdom that's unlike any other kingdoms, a kingdom that would have its headquarters in heaven, that the Savior would be Christ, the Son of God, that He would purchase with His blood. And then we see then that Jesus was born in the days of the Roman kingdom. And so John the Baptist began his work in the days of the Roman kingdom, preaching that there's one coming after him that is greater than he, whose shoe latches he's not unable to loose because he's preaching Jesus is coming. Jesus then began his public ministry in Mark chapter 1 verses 14 and 15 in the days of those kings, in the days of those Roman kings. And so Daniel 2:44 specifies the time of the setting up of the kingdom, which shall be what? Unlike any of those earthly kingdoms that men have known, because they all came and they all went their way. They were all destroyed. But this kingdom that's going to be set up in the days of those kings by the Son of God will never be done away with. That kingdom and that church was established in AD 33. So Daniel is the only Old Testament prophet to specify the exact time period of the setting up of the kingdom. He says, in the days of those kings. So when Jesus began His work, in the days of what kings? The kings of the Roman Empire. What did Jesus say during the days of the Roman Empire? When He was born, when He began His work, when He had His ministry. What did Jesus say there in the first century A.D.? He said, the time is fulfilled, or in the latter part of the, just before Jesus died, He said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Mark 1:15. So, what Daniel said, and Joel said, and Micah said, and Daniel said, pointing to a kingdom that would be set up in those kings, in the days of those kings, Jesus said, the time is at hand. The time is at hand. And so this would agree with the prophecy of Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Also, we note Daniel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, which agrees with all the other Old Testament prophecies, pointing to the days of those kings in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And so the Old Testament prophesied by various men who were inspired of God that the church or the kingdom would be set up in the days of the Roman Empire, in the days of those kings. And so when we read the Old Testament prophecies about the kingdom, we're going to find the fulfillment in the New Testament. In the New Testament. All those prophesied, and so in the New Testament, we see that the church in Old Testament prophecy was fulfilled then in the New Testament. When we get in the book of Matthew and the other Gospels, we see that it carries out of the Old Testament into the New, in that when it's Jesus and John the Baptist and the early days, those people were still under the law of Moses. And they were pointing to a kingdom, still pointing to a kingdom that was going to be established wherein all men could find salvation. So let's look and see what the Bible says briefly about the New Testament pointing to the establishment of the church. The New Testament continues its pointing to the establishment of the church just as the Old Testament pointed to the establishment of the church. The New Testament continues pointing to it also. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, about AD 26, John the Baptist was preaching, and what did he preach? He preached that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For hundreds of years it had been prophesied that the kingdom would be set up in the days of those kings, those Roman kings. Now John comes preaching, the kingdom is what? It's at hand. That means it's getting close. It's almost time. John was later imprisoned and beheaded, Matthew chapter 14 verses 1 through 12, and the kingdom was not yet set up in his ministry that he was preaching to say, it's at hand. The kingdom was still at hand, but it was still in the future when John the Baptist preached and when John the Baptist died. Well, the New Testament continues to point to the establishment of that kingdom that the Old Testament said would be put into place. Mark chapter 1 verses 14 and 15, Jesus preached that the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, John the Baptist just preceded Jesus in his ministry and said the kingdom of heaven is nigh. The kingdom of heaven is drawing near. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we know all those hundreds of years that it's been prophesied that it's going to come to pass under the days of the Roman Empire and the Roman rule in the days of those kings. Now John comes saying it's getting close. Jesus is saying it is getting close. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 6 verses 9 and 10, Jesus taught his disciples. And when he taught his disciples to pray, what did he tell them to do? He said, pray, thy kingdom come. So the kingdom that Jesus is going to set up has not yet been established because Jesus hasn't died to purchase that kingdom with his blood yet. So John is saying the kingdom's at hand. Jesus is saying the kingdom is near. Pray for the kingdom because it's coming. And Jesus then sent out his apostles to preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7. If I were to tell you this morning that the 4th of July is at hand, and you look on your calendar and you say, well, next Saturday is the 4th of July, you'd always be getting close. If someone had told you 10 years ago, the 4th of July of 2020 is a few years away, you'd only been a little time off before that. But we know it's at hand. And so now here's John and Jesus saying, the kingdom or the church is what? Is at hand. It is getting close. He sent the 70 disciples out to preach what? That the kingdom of God has come near to you. Luke chapter 10. Well, we're getting closer to the establishment of the church as we know it today. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20, Jesus promised to build what? The church. Concerning the promise, he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Matthew 16, verse 18. The rock was not Peter, but was the confessed truth that Jesus is the Christ. The church was built on Christ because he is the foundation of the church. The church was built on Christ because he bought and paid for it with his own blood. The church is built on Christ because he is king over all things to the church and is seated at the right hand of God over all things to the kingdom. So, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. So the kingdom is the church, and Jesus said, notice what he said in Matthew chapter 16 and 18. He said, I will build my church. And in that same phrase, he continued to Peter and said, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. It's easy to understand that the kingdom and the church are the same. I will build my church. And Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. So the church that Peter is going to preach about, that's going to be built on Jesus Christ, is going to be the kingdom that Jesus is saying that he's giving the keys to Peter, which is the church. So the church and the kingdom are the same. Blood bought. The church of Christ is the kingdom of God that was prophesied hundreds of years by Daniel, Joel, Micah, all those, Isaiah, saying that it's going to come to pass. Well, the kingdom of the church was to come in the lifetime of some of the disciples that were there while Jesus was on earth. Remember, John and Jesus both said, it's getting close. It's at hand. Well, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 28, Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus said, I say unto you that there are some standing here that will see the kingdom of God come with power. So there'll be some that will be living who were there listening to Jesus who would what? See the kingdom come with power. What kingdom's going to come with power? The one that Daniel said that would be established, that would be more powerful than any kingdom that's ever been on earth, that will be unlike any other kingdom on earth. Its headquarters will be in heaven, and it will be a kingdom that comes from God. It's not going to be like the kingdoms of the earth. And so it's the same kingdom that Joel said is going to be established. And so the church and the kingdom are made up of the same individuals. Christians have been purchased by the blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. The church was purchased by the blood of Christ. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. So the kingdom then is made up of who? The kingdom is made up of those who are purchased by the blood of Christ. So every blood-bought individual is a member of the church or a citizen of the kingdom. And we read about that in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. So when we think about the Old Testament and the prophecies that lead up, all that's fulfilled in the New Testament because the New Testament continues to prophesy that the kingdom is going to be established. So when Jesus said the kingdom would come, he was speaking to the church. They are one and the same. So, let's get a little further along in Jesus' life. The night of his betrayal, when they observed the Passover, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 18, Jesus made mention of the kingdom that's going to be established. The one he said it was shortly to come to pass. He said, I'll not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. This passage also shows that the kingdom is the church, because the fruit of the vine was to be taken in the kingdom. Luke chapter 22 and verse 18. And the fruit of the vine then is the Lord's Supper. And where was it observed? It was observed in the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34, the fruit of the vine that Jesus said he would observe it anew with you in the kingdom was observed where? In the kingdom, in the church, after he died, after he bought the church, and after Peter preached the first sermon, and those people were added to the church, in AD 33 in the city of Jerusalem, when the church functioned then in the New Testament, and you read the epistles about the New Testament, they gathered on the first day of the week to break bread and drink the fruit of the vine. Where? In the kingdom, in the church, which is one and the same. Where is Christ? Seated at the right hand of God in heaven. He's head over all things to the church. Who makes up the church that meets to worship God and observe the Lord's Supper, looking forward to His coming again and looking back to the death on the cross? Those who are baptized believers in Christ. Because those are the ones who make up the kingdom. So, let's hurry along this morning. I'm trying to put about an hour's worth of study into 30 minutes. Luke chapter 22, verses 29 and 30, we see that Jesus promised to appoint or grant unto the apostles a kingdom in which they would eat and drink at His table in His kingdom. Well, that kingdom was established. Jesus promised to drink the fruit of the vine anew with the apostles in His Father's kingdom. Matthew 26 and verse 29. So, the term new indicates a new quality. It would have a new meaning for the disciples when they do observe the Lord's Supper in the church. So when Christians observe the Lord's Supper, it's a new meaning. It's a meaning of the fact that Jesus died for our sins. He shed His blood. He bought the church and purchased the kingdom with his blood. And Christians look forward then to going to heaven to be there forever with God. So the kingdom of the church was yet in the future when Jesus made these promises. So the church was established then, and the establishment of it was pointed to in all these verses you see on the board in the New Testament. You back up and you see all those things that Isaiah said, Daniel said, Joel said, and all those in the Old Testament pointed to, and the New Testament points to the establishment of the church. Well, when they all pointed to it, it was fulfilled in the New Testament. The church, the kingdom, was established in Jerusalem in AD 33. Jesus said, I'll build my church. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. In Mark chapter 91, Luke 24, there were people that would be there that would be alive when they see the kingdom come to pass. In Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, just before Jesus ascended back into heaven, after He'd been crucified on the cross, put in the grave for 3 days, rose again the third morning, was on earth and witnessed among hundreds of people for all those weeks. Then He ascended back into heaven and He told them to wait and I'll send you power from on high. And they asked Him if the kingdom would then be established. He said, wait, wait. So they waited in Jerusalem for the power to come. And so in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the power came on the apostles. They begin to preach and teach the things that Jesus told them to teach. And Peter then, in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, began to preach unto those Jews there on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem and told them about Jesus, the Son of God. He said, let me tell you about Jesus, the Son of God. His body was not left in the sepulcher to decay. Just as the patriarch David, his tomb is with you today, and he did decay, but Jesus did not. He was raised from the dead the third day. This Jesus is the Son of God. He was raised from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of God. And He's the one that shed His blood for you and for your sins. Peter said there in Acts 2 verses 14 through 36. And when those Jews there on the day of Pentecost heard Peter preach that sermon about Jesus the Son of God who died to purchase the kingdom, who died to establish the church, Peter told them, this is what you must do. And they said, when they asked Him, what must we do to be saved? Peter told them in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. And verse 41, they that gladly received the word were baptized that day. So, Jesus promised to give Peter the keys to the kingdom. Peter preached the first gospel sermon declaring Jesus is Savior, Jesus is Lord, He is Christ, He died, He rose, He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, you need to repent and be baptized. They received it, they were baptized, and look at verse 47 in Acts chapter 2. What it says that those people that heard about the good news of Jesus, when they received it, they repented of their sins and they were baptized. Verse 47 says that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You know, the Bible is not just any book you pick up in a library. The Bible is not just a book put together by men. The Bible is the Word of God. And it explains the plan of salvation completely. It tells about God's promise through the seed of Abraham and the prophecies of the Old Testament, the prophecies in the New Testament, and all of them being fulfilled right there in AD 33 in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost when the church was established. It began then and it's still in existence today. The letters we read in the New Testament, all the epistles, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all those epistles and the letters that are written to Christians and individuals, all those were in the church. And they were written by inspired men to Christians who were in the church, who were in the kingdom, telling them how to live, how to worship. They left the example for us. So today we can be in the same kingdom, in the same church, by doing exactly what the Bible says and by faith obeying all that God says. The Lord's willing, next Sunday morning we'll continue and we'll begin to look back from 2020 and look back in the pages of the Bible, and we can look back then to right here, AD 33 in the city of Jerusalem where the church was established, and see that in 2020 we're in the same church in the same kingdom that was established then, because it has not gone away. It'll be there forever until God says to His Son, go and get my people. And when He descends from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ will rise first, and those that are alive and remain will be transformed in a moment and twinkling of an eye, and we'll meet Him in the air, and all will be judged, everyone. And He'll take the church home and give it to God and usher the kingdom over to God. So, Genesis 1 talks about the creation. Genesis 12 talks about God's promise to Abraham. Daniel, Isaiah, Joel, and Micah prophesies that hundreds of years down the road, there's going to be a kingdom established that's unlike any other kingdom you've ever seen. It won't be like the Babylonian kingdom or the Medo-Persian or the Roman kingdom, but there's going to be a kingdom set up in the days of those kings. Which ones? The Roman kings. And then Matthew, the Gospels come on the scene, and here's John the Baptist born, and he says, there's one coming after me that's greater than I, and he's going to come. And Jesus says then, John said, the kingdom's at hand. Jesus said then, when he starts his ministry, the kingdom's at hand. And all the way up, and he dies, and he's about to ascend back into heaven. He said, wait, and I'll send you power from on high, and the kingdom will be established. And it was established. We're going to look back to that then, and tie it all in, the prophecies too, and look back to see that it was and see that it is. Hope the lesson is beneficial to each and every one of us this morning, because the Bible is an amazing book. It is the Word of God. It tells us what we need to know as far as life and death and living our life to go to heaven and doing right toward ourselves and toward our fellow man and toward one another. I'd encourage you to study your Bible. If you're here this morning and you have something in your life that you need to correct, if you haven't been baptized into Christ and that's your desire, that can be granted to you this day. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're willing to confess that and repent of your sins, you can be baptized and leave this building a child of God and be in that kingdom that we just studied about. But if you're here this morning and something in your life that you need to pray about and help with from the brethren, then if you need to respond, please do so while Matthew leads us in the invitation song.